Well, good morning. It is 11:35, and I feel that I could give you a lukewarm sermon and get you out by 12. That's 24 minutes from now. Or I could give you a sermon that gives you something you can do with, something that is useful, something that is both hot and cold. And if you need to leave at 12 to watch the game, I won't judge you. But I think you'll miss out on 50% more of what God has for you, which happens to be about being lukewarm, specifically as a church. Have you ever left your coffee, and if you're a kid, maybe a soda, on the counter, and it lost its heat, or for sodas, lost its coldness? And then it just tastes kind of flat for soda, and for coffee, just blah. That happens a lot. There was someone that said that they were on a diet, so they asked for a mocha. And they said, but only lukewarm. They got it, they drank it, and they sighed because it was gross. So the barista said, well, why did you want it lukewarm? She said, well, I heard calories are burnt quicker when there's not much heat. Okay, so she was drinking lukewarm coffee and dealing with it. Another kind of lukewarm thing I think is gross is McDonald's french fries. When they're not hot, yeah, they're just kind of limp and soggy. And then when they're cold, I don't like them. But then there's other things that when it's lukewarm, just it's not really a good thing. The first one, you're a good teacher, but not my most favorite. Or maybe being the okayest dad. Or even, it'll do motel. Those are all lukewarm things. Things that they're neither really good or neither really cold or really bad. But where our analogy breaks down is hot has value and cold has value. Both are useful to us. And that is where our passage comes in. It is found in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. And Revelation, the book, is the last one in the Bible. And when John, one of Jesus' disciples, was exiled for being a Jesus follower, he was put on this island called Patmos. And there, Jesus visited him in a vision. And he told him to write down the things that he would see. And at the beginning of Revelation, there are 7 letters that John, or Jesus, dictates to John to give to the churches. And so we're looking specifically at verse 14 through 16. This whole section is about the church in Laodicea. If you want to look at the context, it's verse 14 through 22. But we're looking at 14 through 16. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Well, if you went on, you would find out more reasons why they were lukewarm. But we want to look at this hot and cold aspect. For them, Laodicea was a wealthy town. They had developed this black wool that had become designer clothing throughout the Roman Empire. So a lot of people clamored to buy this stuff. They also had a medical school there that made some amazing eye ointment or eye medicine that healed eye problems. And then they were also known for the ability to have hot and cold water being plumbed to them through the aqueducts in the Roman Empire. See, the roads all led through Laodicea, so there was a lot of wealth and power. And when they would have these water piped in to be able to help these people, it was from several miles away. So what do you think happened from the hot water that finally traveled and got to them? What kind of temperature do you think it was? Lukewarm. What do you think happened to the mountain stream water that came and got to them after several miles? What temperature would it be? Very good. So this was the town in which Jesus is riding. They are used to this lukewarm water. And as the water would go down, especially from the hot springs, the mineral springs, which had a lot of healing properties, they would pick up sediment like lime along the way. And it would become kind of just gross, to the point where they would complain and spit it out at times. And so Jesus is writing to these people, knowing what this water temperature is, knowing about the ways in which they don't like it. And as you were looking at it, I don't know if you noticed, like, verse 14 says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Very briefly, basically the Amen says that Jesus guarantees the truth of any statement in Scripture. He's the fulfillment of any promise. When he says he's the ruler of God's creation, in other books or other translations, it actually says he's the beginning of creation. Now you think, okay, wow, well, Jesus was created then. But that's incorrect. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is a Hebrew term that means A to Z, the beginning and the end, the always was, the I am. So Jesus is confirming his deity, his divine godness before the church in Laodicea. So with that kind of understanding, we get to this cold and hot thing. And to make it a little more applicable, I came across the hymnal that they would have used in Laodicea. And you would think that it's going to have our traditional songs, even though it's 2,000 years ago. We've kind of modified them to some degree. One of their favorites was, a comfy mattress is our God. And then another one was, be thou my hobby. So you think, okay, well, this is the structure that they're built on. What about the third one then? Sit up for Jesus. And they had a bunch of others, but the last one that caught my eye was, I surrender some. So this was the church in Laodicea. They were wealthy. They had lots of money. They had designer clothes. They had eye ointment that could clear their eyes and help them see. But you know what? Jesus said, you are not hot and you're not cold. You stand for nothing. You are indifferent and you are apathetic as a church. They had become hardened and stiffened towards what God had done, even though they said they are the church of Christ. They weren't refreshingly cold, and they weren't healing in hotness. They weren't useful to anything that God was wanting them to do. They thought that their wealth and the things that they had made them self-sufficient. But verse 17 and 18 actually say that they were wretched, they were poor, they were blind, and they were naked. Interestingly enough, they were wealthy, yet they were poor in God's eyes. They wore designer clothing, and yet they were naked in God's eyes because they weren't clothed in righteousness. And then the very last one was blind. They had this eye ointment that could heal their natural sight, but they were blind for spiritual things. And so Jesus said, I stand at your door and knock. If anyone would open the door, I will come in and eat with him. And you know, we always through context, I mean, we always think, okay, God is standing at my door in my heart. He's knocking on my door. But if you look at the context, it's to that church. Jesus is talking to the people within that church and saying, hey, I want to be a part of your fellowship. You say you're a part of me, but you're not. So he was patiently sitting there, loving them. And remember, verse 21 says, whom he loves, he disciplines and rebukes. So he was there waiting for them. And yet no one would open the door because they had a wonderful party going on the inside. It was too good. Why bother with someone that would tell us what to do? This was the only church that Jesus didn't actually commend for something good. It was just bad. Paul had even written them a letter, and they had lost it. We don't know when they lost it, but it's not in the Bible. So is that a picture of them as a church? Then it makes me wonder, are we a lukewarm church? Us as elders, we were going through the budget last week, and God did bless us in great ways this past year. We always give minimum of 20%+ to missions, and then whatever God brings in over the budget that we use, we give even more to missions. Sure, that's great, but is that enough risk, or are we holding our talents and not doing something with them? Are we a praying church, or just a church that prays? We prayed, Kent prayed, and he did a great job, but I didn't pray before my service, before talking. Does that mean I'm not a praying person? Do we pray for the Sunday service? Do we pray for Chuck downstairs? Do we pray for Awana? Do we pray for each other? I don't know. So if we are a lukewarm church, and I'm not saying we are and are not, you know, a lukewarm church has to be filled with individuals. Those individuals are either transformed, as Ken said, or they are lukewarm, leading to a lukewarm church. So if that's the case, what do we do with that? And there is a video, the guys are going to get it queued up, but it's from the War Room that talks about this very thing, about being lukewarm, but about realizing how to be used by God. And it does have sound. Give it a second.
Well, we actually haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And when did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter, her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara, I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe God, just like most people, he's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get our coffee. So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need.
Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot. Elizabeth, people drink their coffee hot. Or cold, but nobody likes it lukewarm. Not even the Lord.
Point taken, Miss Clara. But why do you feel the need to examine my personal life?
Because I've been where you are. And you don't have to step on the same landmines that I did. That's a waste of time. And this asking price is just fine. Let me get you a hot cup of coffee.
I was a little sneaky last time. What landmines do you think I might step on?
You tell me. Now, if there was one thing in your life that you could make better, what would it be?
Just one?
is one thing we do well. It's fight.
No, I don't think you do.
I'm sorry?
Just because you argue a lot doesn't mean that you fight well. Every couple has some friction every now and then. But I think that you never feel like you won after you had an argument with your husband. Can I ask you how much you pray for your husband?
Well, very little.
Elizabeth, I think it's time for me to show you my favorite place in this house.
Last week we learned that we have been giving standing orders. We're told to stand firm in the Lord and be strong in His mighty strength. We were given the armor of God, and I talked about how you can equip yourself, not just through visualizing it, but through praying what the armor does, how it helps stop the attacks of Satan in its tracks. We are in a battle, and it's unavoidable. Now, because Satan is invisible, he wants you to think that he doesn't exist. If you were putting your prayer life or your spiritual life on a scale from 1 to 10, where would you put it? Would you feel that you do what you can to learn about the God that you profess as your Savior? Would I say that? Now, another reverse question, do you feel like you are hot or cold for God? Or do you feel like maybe you're lukewarm? Things about God are apathetic. Like I said last week, was last year a challenging year for you spiritually? If so, Satan doesn't like what you're doing. Keep it up. If it wasn't challenging for you spiritually, maybe God let you have a reprieve, or maybe God wasn't a priority. The further you get from God and His Word, you know what happens? You become lukewarm. I think Louis Armstrong said it, if I don't practice one day, I'll know it. If I don't practice 2 days, my family, my critics will know it. My family, my friends. If I don't practice 3 days, the world will know it. So how many days goes between when you read your Bible, when you pray, when you ask God for guidance? You don't have to spend a bazillion hours on your knees in prayer. What prayer is a talking not just to God, but with God. A conversation, a relationship. So it's actually communicating with God throughout the day. For me, I pray throughout the day, and not saying that I'm awesome because of it. But it's just something that I've done since I was little. I don't ever say amen. Very rarely, because it's a constant conversation. The hot and the cold water that went into Laodicea, the further it got from the hot springs, the further it got from the mountain streams, the more lukewarm it got, the more useless it became. The further you get from God, the further you get from His source, the more lukewarm you become. The more useless you are for Him. You will still be saved. You will still be going to heaven one day. But your life on earth is not going to be worth as much. You might be saved just as through fire, with the smell of fire on your clothes, as it says in maybe Corinthians. So the further we are from God, the source, the living water, the less effective we are. So how do we get back? We do it through verse 19, being earnest and repenting. That means turning back from what we have done to focusing on God. And sometimes it's continuing to do that, continuing to look at God, especially when just dumb stuff throughout the day come up. Our priorities, the materialism, the other things that we like comes up. And that takes the place of God. So it's continuing to do that. And there was a story. Okay. One minister registered in shock when a member of a delegation of Russian visitors lamented their disappointment in American Christian youth. Why would they do that? Since they are Christians, I expected that they would be concerned about spiritual things. Instead, they are more materialistic than the Marxist youth in my country. Perhaps somewhat hyperbolically, a Jewish student who had recently become a Christian complained to the same minister. If somebody took Jesus' teachings in the Beatitudes and decided to create a religion that contradicted those teachings, then he'd probably come up with the Protestant church. Are we a lukewarm church? Are we a church where heaven defines risks that we do on behalf of God as faith? Do we follow up what we say by action? And that's our church then. What about us as individuals? Are we transformed into the likeness of Christ? Are we overcomers? As Christ said, we will rule with him. We will reign with him in heaven someday. Romans 8:37 says it really good. We are more than overcomers. Because the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. He has overcome sin. He has overcome death. He has overcome shame. And he is the one that we say is the king. So will you make him king of your life? Whether you've ever thought about Jesus as your savior. But I think a lot of us have. Will you put him back on the throne of your life? Or will you keep yourself there so that everything can revolve around you? Will you be willing to be hot, healing, cold, refreshing to the world? Or is it completely hunky-dory to stay lukewarm? Let's pray. God, I thank you that you love us. And really, my prayer would be that you raise up people that are prayer warriors, that believe what you say, that equip themselves with the armor of God, that say, these are your promises, I stand by them. I believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that you are the amen, the yes, this is truth of all of God's promises. As we leave here today, God, please prick our minds through the use of the Holy Spirit to be able to bring us back in line with what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.